Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter number 16. It's Mother's Day, and I've had this mother on my heart for several days now. And it really was not until this morning that the Lord kind of developed the thoughts in my heart and my mind. I've just been studying and meditating and studying and meditating. But there's a woman in the Bible by the name of Hagar. And I want to look at this woman this morning. I would title the message today, Hagar, an Egyptian mother's story. Hagar, an Egyptian mother's story. I'm going to let you be seated for the reading of the Word of God. It's rather lengthy, and we're going to be reading several passages today from the Word of God, and trust the Lord will speak to our hearts. In verse number 1 of chapter number 16, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto thy maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou, God, seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here today and preach the Word of God. God, I pray today that you would make the message a blessing in our hearing. Give us, our Father, what we need today. Encourage and bless our mothers. And I pray, Lord, today that you would speak to the heart of that one that does not know you in the free pardon of sin. That this might be the day, our Father, they would put their trust and their confidence in the Christ of Calvary that gave his life for us, that we might live forever. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our precious mothers. And I pray, God, today in the name of Jesus, you'd help us for just a little while in the Scripture. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. Hagar, an Egyptian mother's story. I don't know, but I'm not sure that I've ever really concentrated on this mother in the Bible. God has put this in my heart. You know that Ishmael, he was kind of the father of the Arab nation, and then Abraham and Isaac, the father of the Jewish nation. You know that the Bible talked about a wild man there, and there's going to be conflict, amen, and there has been down through the years. There's a spiritual conflict that goes on between the Arabs and the Jews. And honestly, I did not know this until this morning. I was studying this morning and reading up a little bit, and I found out, beloved, that the Muslims in the Quran, they believe that Ishmael takes the place of Isaac. They believe that Abraham took Ishmael up on the mountain. They don't believe, beloved, the way that we believe that Isaac was the child of promise. Amen. Ishmael is a child of the flesh. If we get to it after a while, I'll read that to you in Galatians chapter number 4. Amen. In other words, we're in the Old Testament, but there's application to be made. Amen. And Paul makes that application in the book of Galatians. And so what I would like to do, that not only is there a spiritual conflict that comes between the Jews and the Arabs, and also it's because of the Quran and the Bible. There's a conflict there. They don't line up. But there's also a political conflict concerning the land. God put Israel back in the land in 1948. Amen. And that land, according to the Bible, belongs to Abraham and belongs to the Jewish people. And the promise of God still stands true this Mother's Day when God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. I believe it's an important stand to take with that little nation of Israel. The book of Psalms encourages you and I to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I believe that's something that we should do. Amen. We should pray for the Jewish people. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter number 12 now. I'm going to take my time this morning. I may be about quarter after 12 or so getting done. Don't be discouraged by that, please, and stay with me. If you go to sleep, I always figured that song books have a dual purpose. Amen. One, you can stand behind it and sing, or the pastor can throw it and wake you up. Amen. Either one he needs to do. Amen. He'll do it this morning. So stay with me this morning. There, by necessity, there's some things that we need to read to get the story. What I want to concentrate on, four things today. I want to look at the beginning of Hagar's story, and then the barrenness in Hagar's story. I want to look at the burden in Hagar's story, and then I want to look at the blessing in Hagar's story. This is how God has developed this in my heart and my mind. I've been reading, I've been studying, I've been meditating. Even as I ride a lawnmower, amen, God will let me meditate on what I've read and what I've been studying about, and I thank the Lord for that. Look in Genesis chapter 12. I would like to begin reading in verse number 8. This story is concerning Abraham. You see, Hagar is an Egyptian. And what we believe, I believe that really there's not a doubt in my mind, this is where that Abraham and Sarai pick up Hagar. It was in Egypt. Abraham is in Egypt, I'm going to say this, out of the will of God. There was a famine in the land, amen? And God used famine many times to test His people. You remember what happened to Elimelech when he took his family down to Moab, amen? Because there was a famine in the land. It didn't turn out good. It never turns out good when God's people go to the world, amen? It never turns out good. So I'm trying to lay a little bit of groundwork and look at the beginning of her story. In verse number 8, he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar. It's important for you to see, beloved, in verse number 8, that Abram builded an altar. He was walking with God. He was seeking the will of God. He wanted to do the will of God. But in verse number 10, there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass that when he came near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon.
Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me, but that they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, that the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. Evidently, Sarai was a beautiful woman to look upon. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. You see, Abram wanted to deceive the Egyptians. But I want you to understand here in the story, beloved, that God knew the truth all along. Abram's in a place where he didn't belong. He's down in Egypt. Amen. He's turned to the world in a time of famine. And beloved, there is where, without a doubt, he's going to pick up this Egyptian maidservant, Egyptian slave, if you please. And the Bible said, Pharaoh called Abram in verse 18 and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? And why didst thou tell me that why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. Pharaoh said, get out of here. Amen? You don't belong in Egypt. Isn't it sad when a lost person has to tell you that you don't belong where you are? Amen? And here's Abram, a man of God, a man of faith, a man that the Bible said Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He said, Pastor, I don't know why you're bringing this up in the story, because this is how Hagar enters into the scene. Amen? She's picked up down in Egypt. I want you to see this now. And I love this. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. This is just kind of a parenthesis in the message. When you get out of the will of God, aren't you glad there's a God in heaven that will allow you a way back? When you get away from the altar, ain't you glad? Thank God you can come and build that altar again. Amen. Watch what the Word of God said here. He went on his journey from the south to Bethel, the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. And the Bible said in verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. This is the beginning of the story. This is the beginning of Hagar's story. She no doubt has left Egypt, probably a gift from Pharaoh, to Sarai and Abraham, or Abram at this time. And now she's gone back with them. Now I want you to notice in chapter 16 the barrenness in Hagar's story. What brings all this about? And Sarai, in verse number 1, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She didn't have children. Abram is 86 years old at this time. And beloved, there's a barrenness. There's a problem. God has promised Abraham and Sarai a child. Amen? And I'm going to say this. For the rest of the message, if y'all don't mind, it's easier for me to say Sarah. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Amen? I'm going to talk about Abraham and Sarah. That's where they're going to end up. Right now it's Abram and Sarai. Amen? But anyway, Sarah's not able to have children. She's barren. In the Bible days especially, that was considered to be a judgment upon a woman. Amen? It was not popular to not be able to have children. I know this is Mother's Day, but if you'll stay with me, I believe God will show you a blessing in the end of this message. Amen? And so what happens here? Her womb, she's not been able to get pregnant. There's no doubt a question mark. Is this Abram's problem? Or Abraham's problem? Or is this Sarah's problem? Because when you can't have children, it can be the problem of the man. It can be the problem with the woman. Are y'all understanding me now? And so they turn to the flesh. Amen. They're not turning to the faith. They're not turning to the Lord, but they turn to the flesh. Let's get an answer here. God said we're going to have a child, so Sarah comes up with this idea. She says, I want to just give you Hagar. I want you to go into Hagar. Well, y'all, I want you to understand something. Hagar gets pregnant, amen? And so that proves right quickly that it was not Abraham's problem, amen? That the problem was with Sarah. Is anybody getting the picture, amen? And now there's a conflict between Hagar and Sarah, amen? And beloved, we're going to see that. There's a barrenness in this story. And I want you to look now at the burden or the brokenness now in Hagar's story. Stay with me this morning. Look in verse number 6. The word of God said, But Abram said to Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. I'm telling you, beloved, this is a bad situation between Sarah and Hagar. Amen. Anytime we turn to the flesh to get a spiritual answer, amen, we're not going to like the results. And so what's happened now, there's a tremendous burden. Sarah deals hardly with her. There's a burden here and a brokenness as a result of Sarah. And then in verse 12, the Word of God said that he's going to be a wild man. There's also a brokenness and a burden as a result of the son. I hope and pray to God that you all that are mothers never have to know the hardship of having a son or a daughter, beloved, that is wayward and living wild. Amen. But I'm telling you, this woman was pronounced, she was told by God, beloved, that this son that she's carrying now is going to be trouble. Amen. In the days ahead, he's going to be like a wild man. And so there's a burden. There's a brokenness about it. They tried to get an earthly fix for a heavenly problem. They tried to get a carnal fix for a spiritual problem. Turn with me to Galatians. I must go there this morning. Galatians chapter number 4 in the Word of God. And you'll get a little bit better understanding, I believe, of what the Lord is teaching us through Isaac and through Ishmael. The Word of God said in chapter number 4 of the book of Galatians, My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I want you to understand the book of Galatians. You have a church that's trying to go back under the law. They don't have a good understanding of the grace of God. And they're trying to mix works and grace and mix law and grace. And in one place, Paul said to them, My old foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And so, beloved, that contrast is being painted throughout the book of Galatians. Watch this now. He said, I desire in verse 20 to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. He said, Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid and the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise. You understand, beloved? They were beyond childbearing. Amen. But there was a miracle took place. Why? Because God promised, amen, this son to Abraham. Watch this now. But he also was, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Verse 24, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which engendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. And for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. We'll read that to you in a little while, beloved. After Isaac was born, what happened? Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. It's important to understand, beloved. Listen, a lot of people, all they think about when they think about Hagar is the negative. But I want you to understand, Hagar is in the position she's in because Abraham refused to believe God and refused to wait on God. By the way, I'm just going to go and say this, beloved, this morning. I'm not trying to be ugly, but there's a lot of young people that are refusing to wait on God. If you'll wait on God, you can have God's best. You can have God's blessings on your life. Amen. You won't have to carry scars to your grave if you'll just wait on the Lord. Amen. And I believe that's important to say this morning. And so we see the beginning of Hagar's story. We see the barrenness in Hagar's story. We see the burden or the brokenness in Hagar's story. I believe it's important, beloved, listen, to see this. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 21 for just a moment. I'll show you a little bit more about this burden. In Genesis chapter number 21, let's look here and read this passage together. Genesis chapter 21, I believe I'm going to start in verse number 9. Look at it with me, please. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, that would have been Ishmael, which had been born unto Abraham, mocking. Here is this boy, Ishmael, mocking. Who is he mocking? Let's look and see. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Listen, take Abraham's position for just a moment. Right or wrong? Amen. This is his boy. This Ishmael's been his boy for 13 years. Amen. Right or wrong, it didn't happen the right way. But I'm telling you, he's not enjoying this when Sarah comes and says, listen, he's mocking Isaac and they got to go. Amen. He's not enjoying that at all. Amen. And the word of God said here, and also of the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. I believe if we're not careful, this is going to lead me into the last part of the message, but if we're not careful, we'll only see the negative in this mother's life and not see the blessing. Amen. That God, our God, not only gave to Abraham, and not only gave to Sarah, and not only gave to Isaac, and not only gave to you and I, but God blessed this woman, this mother. It was not of her doing. It was not of her choosing. I'm not even sure she had a choice in the matter at all. Amen. And sometimes, beloved, we find ourselves in life where we are because of the choices that we've made ourselves. But there's times in life when we find ourselves where we are because of the choices that others have made around us. Amen. I thought just now when I said that, I thought about Achan's children. I thought about Achan's wife. They didn't choose to bury the garment. They didn't choose to bury the gold. They didn't choose to bury the silver in the tent. Yet every one of them was stoned to death in the valley of Achor because of the sin of that father rebelling against God and taking from Jericho that which he was not supposed to take and burying it in his tent. And so we see the beginning. We see the barrenness in her story. And we see the brokenness or the burden in her story. But I want you to go with me now. And I tell you, this is a blessing to me. Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty, I want to see the blessing in Hagar's story. You say, Pastor, how can there be any blessing come out of this mess? That's what I think when I look at my life. How can there be any blessing? come out of this mess. I tell you, you take a mess and put it in the hands of a holy God, and He can make a blessing out of it. Amen. He can take that rebellion. He can take that works of the flesh, and He can turn it around for His honor and for His glory. I want to show it to you, beloved, here in the Word of God. Stay with me just a moment. Look at chapter 16 again in the book of Genesis. I've said everything I've said to get to this, just to try to lay a little bit of groundwork. He said, Pastor, this is an ugly picture. I'm going to tell you something right now. I serve a God that specializes in taking ugly pictures and making them beautiful. We had the class, Brother Jason's class was down at the house a little while back, and I said to Devin and Haley, I said, 4 months ago, did you think you'd be sitting on a swing at the pastor's house? Oh, no, honey. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. The God of heaven come along and worked in their lives, amen, and give them a purpose in life, amen. They enjoy the church. They enjoy the Word of God. They enjoy the fellowship with God's people because God made a difference in their life. Watch this now. Boy, it's fixing to get gooder. You say, that's not a word. I just made it one. Amen. You look at me like that and I'll say it again. It's going to get gooder and gooder and gooder. One old boy, I remember Brother Mays Jackson telling this, he spoke with a lisp. And Brother Mays Jackson said that when he went to the doctor's office, he said they didn't like it. Said every time he went in that doctor's office, he didn't matter if it's something good or something bad. Said he shouted all over that doctor's office. Amen. And they said this fellow went in there and said, the doctor said, now listen, I've got some bad news. He said, listen to me. He said, listen, I don't want you to start that shouting. He said, please don't start that shouting. And he said, I've got some bad news. He said, what is it? He said, you've got sugar. He said, this old boy lit up and said, wow. He said, pray God. He was saying, praise God. He said, I know it's getting gooder and gooder, but I didn't know it turned into sugar. Oh, Brother May said one time, he said, I'm going to wait inside the gate for some of you dead-headed Baptists. He said, when you come through and kick up your heels and shout, I'm going to look at you and say, I told you that good all along, and you wouldn't listen. Amen. The blessing of God in this woman's life. Look at it with me. Chapter number 16 and verse number 7. The angel of the Lord. Look at them next two words. What the angel of the Lord do? Oh, shoot, I could run a spell right there on that. Amen. Let me tell you something about the angel of the Lord right here. In the Old Testament, many times the angel of the Lord is a theophanies. It's the pre-incarnate Christ. Are you listening to me? Honey, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus showed up. A lot of people think that Jesus didn't show up until the manger in Bethlehem. Oh no, honey. He's right there all the way through. From everlasting to everlasting, He's God. When God in the book of Genesis said, let us make man in our own image. I'll tell you who the us was. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's going on right here? The angel of the Lord. That's a theophanies. That's none other than the Lord Jesus. And the Word of God in those next two words said, found her. Guess what? I'm standing here today because there was one come my way and found me. It wasn't about me finding him, but thank God Almighty, he found me. I didn't know where he was, but thank God he knew where I was. Hagar didn't know where he was, but he knew where Hagar was, and he found her. Here's a woman that's looked on in a negative manner, but honey, I'm going to tell you what she does. She has an encounter with a holy God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this, beloved, listen, anytime you can have an encounter with a holy God, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I'll tell you this, you'll never go to heaven until you do have an encounter with a holy God. The Word of God said, beloved, listen, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Oh, here's a woman, beloved. She's in a bad way. She's going to get kicked out. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When we get kicked out down here, I'm glad there's a God in heaven waiting to take us in. He found her. That's what the Word of God said. Oh, thank God. Now watch this. Not only did the angel of the Lord, I'm going to say, or the Lord Jesus, find her, but thank God the angel of the Lord, or the Lord Jesus, freed her. You say, Pastor, do you think she was bound? That's all she'd ever been, a slave. All she'd ever been was a bond woman. Amen. You say, Pastor, how do you see that he freed her? Look at verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress. Can I tell you something about Hagar? Sarah was the last person in the world she wanted to see again. Amen. And the angel of the Lord said, return. And then the angel of the Lord said this, submit thyself unto her hands. You, listen, there was a pride that raised up in Hagar's life. I've got a baby, you don't. And she despised her mistress. In other words, she needed to be brought to a place of repentance. And the Lord said, you're done running, Hagar. You're not running that way no more. You're going back where you come from. You're going to return, amen, and you're going to submit. You say, Pastor, how do you know that's a blessing? Because, beloved, that's when business picks up in a person's life. When we return to the God of our fathers. When we submit to the God of our fathers. Thank God he came to us. And then we can turn around and return to him.
Amen.
Amen. There's a blessing in Hagar's story. He found her. He freed her. She had been bound by pride. But now God was going to set her free. This Egyptian maid has an encounter with the God of glory. Look in chapter 16, verse 10 and verse number 11. Not only in Hagar's story did the angel of the Lord find her, the angel of the Lord freed her, but the angel of the Lord is faithful unto her. Let me say something. They used to sing a song, Brother Dale at Oak Glen, though I failed the Lord, he's never failed me. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, I wish I could stand here and tell you ever since I've been saved, I've been faithful. That would not be the truth. Amen. Even Abraham, a friend of God, cannot say that. But I tell you what I can say with Abraham. Ever since I've been saved and before, he's been faithful to me. Amen. God is faithful this morning, and thank God that he is. I see the blessing. And when the angel of the Lord found her, the angel of the Lord freed her, but the angel of the Lord is faithful to her. You say, Pastor, how is he faithful? Look in verse number 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Let me say this to you. If you don't have a study Bible, you ought to get you one. I personally, it's just, I guess one reason I've always used it, I use the Scofield Bible. I don't agree with all the footnotes, and that don't make me somebody, amen, but I really don't like it when anybody, C.I. Scofield or anybody, says that that passage don't belong in the Scripture. That rubs me the wrong way. Say amen.
Amen.
I believe God preserved his word in the English-speaking people in the King James Bible. And I'm going to keep a preaching until he comes. Amen. But watch this. If you get your study Bible, you can look over in the margin and you find out what Ishmael's name means. It means God shall hear. Here's this woman, beloved. Listen. She's got the ear of the God of heaven. Can you think about that for just a moment? When you and I that are saved by the grace of God bow our hearts, our knees, we bow our heads and talk to the God of heaven. I remember the movie, Sheffy. Listen, that man, if you've never seen that movie, you need to see it. Old circuit riding Methodist preacher, amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. That hierarchy in that religious organization got on him. And they said, why, Brother Sheffy? It's been said that when you pray, it's as if you actually talk to God. He said, well, to whom do you talk to when you pray? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. We ought to be comfortable talking to our Heavenly Father. Amen. Very comfortable. And here, his name's going to be Ishmael. Why? Because Hagar, I got good news, honey. God's a listening. God's a hearing you. You say, I don't like that. I do. Amen. And by the way, listen to me carefully right here. You might not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. God knew there were going to be a lot more women in the world like Hagar than like Sarah. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm going to tell you something, and you'll agree with me, beloved. There's women in the world. You say, Preacher, Hagar's been forsaken. There's women in the world that are hurting. I thought about some are hurting because they can't have children. Some are hurting, beloved, because they have rebellious children. Some are hurting because they've lost their children. Some are hurting, beloved, because they just, in their heart, a mother loves like nobody else on this earth can love. Amen? And they just go through things. And this woman knew what it was to hurt, but she also knew what it was to have a God in heaven that hears from that woman that hurts. Watch this now. Not only, beloved, in this blessing is the angel of the Lord faithful to her, He's faithful to hear, but watch this, He's faithful to see. Look in verse 13 and verse number 14 with me for just a moment. And by the way, this is the first time in the Word of God, the first time in the Word of God that a person has been able to give God a name. You think about that for just a moment. Hagar said, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. You know, you can go down there to that name, and I probably not pronounce it exactly right. Beer Laharoi, that's the well. And the name of that well means the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Mother, I'm going to tell you something this morning. It doesn't matter where you're from, where you've been. I'm going to tell you this morning, it ought to be encouraging and be a blessing to you to know that there's a God in heaven that hears you. Amen. And there's a God in heaven that sees you. There's a God in heaven that knows. You say, Pastor, my husband don't know what I'm going through. That might be the truth. I'm going to tell you this. Your father knows what you're going through. Your pastor may not know what you're going through, but your heavenly Father knows what you're going through. He hears you. And He sees you. I don't know about you this morning, but that's a blessing. Amen. To think that the God of heaven, the likes of Him, would take time for the likes of us. Amen. Time to listen. Amen. Time to see. The Lord, not only, beloved, is He God that found her and freed her and was faithful to her, but I want you to get this, and I'm coming close to a close here. Amen. It's kind of a landing strip. He's also a God that followed her. You see, years ago, I heard Brother Mays Jackson say something, and you say, well, you quote Brother Mays. Well, I listened to him a lot. I loved him. I mean, I can still close my eyes and hear the truck driver special. Run, run. I can still hear him saying, now, here's your friend and mine, Brother Mays. And I can hear Brother Mays say, beloved, look this way. I want to speak to you. That's the way he started every broadcast. Amen. I've ridden in the car with Brother Mays. I'm not saying that to make me a big shot, but I will tell you this. Brother, my pastor was driving. Brother Mays was in the front seat. He turned his back to the passenger door and talked to my pastor and me in the back seat. That's the kind of man he was. I was just a young squirt of a preacher. Amen. Hadn't been saved but several months and been preaching but several months. But he was God's man. Amen. He had God all over him. And Brother Mays, I tell you what a blessing it was to know him in this walk of life. Amen. But he used to say, Brother Mays said this. He said, I've got two angels that follow me everywhere I go. He said, I know their names. Boy, that'll get you to perk up. He said, one of them's name is goodness. And he said, the other one's name is mercy. He said, the Bible said in Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I like that kind of thinking. Say amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Hagar had a God that followed her. You say, Pastor, where do you see that in the Word of God? Turn with me, beloved, in chapter number 9, please. Excuse me, chapter 21. Chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. We're landing this plane. Genesis chapter number 21, verse number 9. And Sarah saw, praise God, she got her name changed. It's so much easier to say Sarah than Sarai. And probably the only thing I got right about that well was the beer. Just don't go tell nobody, amen. I think it's Bear, actually. But anyway, Beersheba, that's right, it'd be Bear. And anyway, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which had borne unto Abraham mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. Boy, you know business is picking up when God tells you to listen to your wife. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He took bread, a bottle of water. He gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. Now, by the way, the Bible don't say this, but can you not imagine for just a moment the emotion? Brother Jason, can you imagine the emotion in Abram's? I mean, that's his boy. He's sending his boy off because he can't get along with his other boy. And his wife, Sarah, watch this now. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. You say, Pastor, how do you know that God followed her? The angel of the Lord followed her. Stay with me. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. This is a mother that's hurting. Watch this. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar. He, you know what it looks like to me? Something like this. He went with her all the way. Guess what, youngins? If you know Christ as your Savior, He promised, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the earth. And the word of God said, called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Watch this now. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Let me give you this. Listen to me carefully. I believe the well was there all the time. Brother Taylor, I believe when we're in a time of distress, I believe the answer's there all the time. God just has to open our eyes so we can see the provision that He's made. God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. The angel of the Lord followed her. Let me give you just several statements real quickly about the Lord. In verse number 17, I'm not going to read it again. But the God that started with her is following her. He's still listening. He's still speaking. He's still instructing. And he's still opening her eyes. The God I started with, beloved, in 1987 is still listening. He's still speaking. He's still instructing. And he's still opening my eyes. One of my favorite prayers before I begin to study is, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. If God don't show us, honey, we're not going to be shown. Amen. We need to be more and more and more talking to the author of the book and letting him speak to our hearts. He spoke to Hagar. Hagar, an Egyptian mother's story. Some have faithful children. And yet, beloved, those whose hearts are not aching many times are failing to thank God and praise God. And beloved, let me say this to you. If you don't have a child that's wayward, you ought to help another family carry that burden. You ought to enter in and help bear that burden for someone else. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you this morning for Hagar. I pray, God, that something's been said. Lord, that we would understand the blessing that you bestowed upon this woman and upon her son. Even though, dear God, many frown, Lord, we know that, Lord, you were there, and God, that you helped her. And Lord, this morning, in a crowd this size, there's no telling, God, what these precious mothers have in their heart. There's not a doubt in my mind that some are hurting. God, may they understand that the same God that found them, the same God that freed them, is faithful to them. He's following them. He's there for them. He's still listening. He's still speaking. He's still instructing. He's still opening our eyes to the truth.